Praise God. Hey, Bob, do we have that our confession, the Sunday's confession? Can you put that up? Thank you, Jesus. My. Wow. That'll put a smile on your face. Praise God. That's all right. Just look for it if you can find it. Wow. Praise God. Well, get your Bibles out. And I want to share a word with you. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for just a minute.
You can say it by memory.
Glory to God. How many of you have been challenged already on your confession of saying you're blessed? You know, it's going to be a fight, but that's okay. We're going to win. You know, you're not going to grow spiritually and not be challenged. You don't think the devil's going to sit around and want you to think you're walking blessings or anything like that, you know? But you know, once you beat him back pretty good, you know, and bloody his nose every morning and you know, and cut him up with your sword and whatever else is going on, you know, after a while he's going to get tired of coming around your house, or, you know, not going to want to, you know, want to mess with you. Glory. And so, you know, we got a little battle, but that's okay. We're going to win. Amen. All right? Only way you cannot win is you give up. Right? And I've already learned in life, I win by consistency. I just keep showing up. I mean, if you can just keep showing up, praise God, you'll get it. Amen? No luck? Hey, I'll send it to you. Maybe. That may be harder to find.
Okay, you mean like to the Gmail? The LWC Sanctuary? It should be already sent it. If there's an email on
it. I just sent it to you. How about that? You see it go by? If I was really smart enough, I could make it come off of this thing onto there, but that would be a real stretch in my challenging technology. It's not an impossibility. Well, let's go for it. Y'all, some of y'all may have it all written down, but and you may memorize, if not mumble. Y'all ready? The good hand of God is upon me, and I am blessed. I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed. I cannot be cursed. Though my enemies come against me, I will not fear. Though the problems of life rise up against me, I will not be discouraged. God is with me. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God is with me. He's always with me. Amen?
Amen?
So, even though life's problems rise up, you got to remember, don't get discouraged. You're going to win. Now, I want to share something with you tonight on this topic about being blessed. I want you to understand a little deeper why you're blessed. You got to understand something. You're not ever blessed by your performance. You're not blessed because God's having a good day and just decided to throw a little blessing your way. Right? If you take that mindset, then what's going to happen to you is that whenever you don't perform or you don't feel like you perform, then immediately the enemy is going to get a root in there and get a stronghold started, and he's going to come and talk you out of the blessings of God. It doesn't make sense. Listen to me, church. There's no way with your rational mind you can understand why you're blessed. There's no reason. I mean, because we live in a world of performance. And if a person performs, he gets blessed. Now, every now and then, there's some yahoo, yazoo, whatever, that doesn't, we look at it and say, they don't deserve any blessings, but they got some way. Because either they had a smart grandfather or a smart father or something, you know, and they got an inheritance or they got something. We look at it as a material blessing. But there's more to blessing than money in your bank. Hello? I like it. Right? I've always said, man, I was rich and then I was poor. And I rich is better. Okay? But I want to tell you something. The blessing of God upon your life, man, can you imagine? Just think of this. Just why would the God that created the heavens and the earth and all therein, the God who you know, calls light and it just is light, is there, why would he want to have fellowship with you, with me? Just think about it. I mean, if it was on a world standard, we wouldn't get in the room. Are y'all with me? If it was about our you know, performance or our, you know, whatever, we wouldn't make it. But he does want to sit down with you. And it's an amazing thing to say that God Almighty wants to sit down with you and talk to you. He is your best friend and wants you to think of him as his best friend. Right? That he loves you with a pure, absolute love. And there's only one reason why, and that's because of our standing with him. We're in right standing. Now look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's start down here. Let's just start at verse 15. Let's start at 14 so it all fits together. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Then he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and arose again. You know, let me stop right there. The same thing that goes along on a performance track is that the feeling that you want to do something good for God so that God's going to be pleased with you. Right? It's still performance. Whether, you know, we never want to serve, you know, well, I need to go to church because I need God to really make this deal work. Or really need him to answer my prayer. Right? That's the wrong. Then again, you're on a performance. You're still thinking that God's going to be pleased with you because you got a good attendance record. Right? And that's just so wrong. So he says here that we shouldn't serve God. Right? Because we want something from him. We serve him because we realize what he did for us. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. You may have some of the same skin you had when you got saved. Right? You know, our bodies change and we look different and, you know, and got some bulges in places we used to not have and maybe something else and some losses where we used to have something. But the bottom line is we're new creations. Look at the person beside you and say, hello, new creation. You're a new creation. If you can, never before ever was there a man who was indwelt with the Spirit of God and became the tabernacle of God on earth until after Jesus' resurrection and people were saved and born again. A new creation. This blows my mind when I think about it, because I love to read the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. I love the stories in the Old Testament. I see, you know, Abraham, Isaac, David, all these guys, and I'm like, man, when you get to heaven, why, it's going to be so amazing to see them. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to get to heaven, and they're going to want to talk to you. Because they didn't have the Spirit of God on them like you have on you. And that blows my mind to even think that. That Moses may want to come up and talk to me. Robert, how did you do that? Like, what are you talking about, Moses? Right? But we're new creations. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. He has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. He reconciled us to himself. He looked at the account. He looked at the book. He looked at your life. He looked at who you were. He looked at all your sin. He looked at all the things you've done. He looked at everything and he reconciled it. You didn't really have anything to do with it except accept it. Are y'all with me? He did the reconciling. That's why I always say, Lord, you got the craziest thing in the world. I mean, if I was God and I was going to bring the world to its knees, I would have sure done it a different way than sending my son to the cross. Y'all with me? I mean, I'd have charged down here with angels, man. I'd have been some whooping going on. But not God. He said, I'm going to reconcile all the books. I'm going to reconcile. It doesn't make any difference whether you think you deserve it or not. I'm reconciling it. Okay? Then he says, where to go? Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So because what's happened to us, that's really all the ministry you're required to do, because what happened to you is tell somebody what happened to you. And that is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, as has committed to us and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's the wildest story ever told. That God came and reconciled the world to him and put us in a right standing with him through the blood of Jesus. Hello? Y'all with me? How could we not be blessed then? If we're right with God, then how could the blessings of God not be just bountifully coming upon us? Amen. You got to remember, folks, we live in a fallen world. This is not the way God intended it to be. Man got hold of it. The devil got hold of it. And we messed things up. God wants us blessed. He wants you walking every day with blessings. He wants you every day to walk with peace and every day to walk with joy. Now, we all get frustrated, right? Because, I mean, I don't know, unless y'all's life just works perfect. I mean, I still got some issues and some things I've got to deal with every day, you know, and craziness and this and that and the other and crazy people and, you know, and whatever. But the thing is that in the midst of that, God wants to step in and he wants to at least bring you joy and peace and then minister to the other person too. You got to realize that. Right? Because he paid the price for their reconciliation too, no matter how big of an idiot they are. He paid the price for their reconciliation. Now I want to show you something here. I want you to go to one of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. I want to show you something here. Now, Isaiah 53, I was talking to the Lord about it this morning, and I'm sure he was laughing at me. Because I was thinking about, you know, like, I in 30 years of being saved, or 30 plus years of being saved, but 30 years of being around in the ministry and going to different places, I've seen a lot of ministers prophesy. But it was always in a church service, this church setting, you know. And at some point, the preacher felt inspired or whatever and began to prophesy. But I was wondering, I was asking the Lord this morning, I said, well, how did Isaiah do this? Was he just sitting there drinking his coffee one morning and felt inspired to prophesy and write down Isaiah 53? I mean, you know, of course, it wasn't in chapters, but you know what I'm saying? Are y'all following me here? Because if that's the way it worked, man, he hit pay dirt the morning he wrote the 53rd chapter down. Are y'all with me? And I was asking the Lord, I said, did they have a special service or something that day? He was in the synagogue and all of a sudden he's, whoa! You know, the old Pentecostal kind of prophesying and shouted and spit flying and came out and started saying, surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I mean, how did this come out, Lord? I mean, it's so unbelievable. The truth of the prophecy that's written here, you know? And so let's just read it here for a second. Okay, so verse 1. He hath borne our, who has believed our report, and to whom are the or who is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness when they see him. There's no beauty that they should desire him. Now, all this prophecy is about Jesus, right? You got to imagine. The prophets knew that there was going to be a Messiah. From earlier prophecies, right, of the Bible. They knew that his name would be Emmanuel. I don't know if they translated at all that his name would be Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I don't know because that didn't come about, you know, whatever. But they knew he was coming. And all of a sudden, here he begins to prophesy about the Messiah. Now, knowing, you know, we get to look back because they always say hindsight's 20/20, right? So we're looking back. Here's Jesus coming down the Via Dolorosa, beaten. Right? And here Isaiah sitting around there prophesying this thousands of years before. He says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant out of the root of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness when they shall see him, nor beauty that they shall desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, and again, maybe this is one of those things, we'll get to heaven and y'all can tell me I was wrong. I don't believe Isaiah had it all figured out. I don't believe Isaiah said, oh my gosh, this is it. God's going to come. He's going to have his son's going to be born. He's going to be born of a virgin. I've got this all put together. I can see it, you know. He's going to come and they're going to go to Nazareth. He's going to be born in Bethlehem and he's going to be, you know, from Nazareth and all this. I don't believe he put it all together. I mean, if I get to heaven and I'm wrong and I've, you know, told y'all wrong, well, you know, I'm sorry. But I just can't see that he had that insight into what was coming out of his lips. And the resurrection, the disciples did not even understand the resurrection. Right? Jesus told them, says, yeah, on the third day I'm going to rise again. They're like, what does he mean, rise again? What do you mean, rise again? I don't know anything about this. Although they had seen Lazarus come up and risen from the dead and come out of the tomb. It never dawned on them. Never dawned on them a bit that the resurrection was the guarantee and assurance that Jesus had done all his work, you know. And so, anyway, my point is, he's prophesying here and he's writing this down, and it's so inspired by God, there's no way that a man could have done it, and there's no way that he could have understood what was going on. That's what intrigues me about the Bible. When I see him prophesy something like this, write it down, and he had no idea, and we can look back and see how perfect it fits into the whole scheme of things. I'm like, golly, you are so amazing, God. You are so amazing that you get all of this in here, and poor old Isaiah wrote it down, and somebody, I guarantee you, said, man, what is that guy smoking today? Right? Okay, so back to our right standing with God. Here was prophesied by Isaiah all of what Jesus was going to do for us. Are you with me? Amen. Now, let me back up and even go farther back. In the Old Testament, or in the law, there was never any doubt that God was a God who did miraculous healings. Right? I mean, I've brought that out to y'all before, and that on the occasions when Jesus healed somebody on the Sabbath, they weren't mad. They didn't even, I can't even understand it, but they didn't even get mad that the guy was healed. They were just like, you know, the guy picks up his bed and they're mad. What are you doing picking up your bed? Nobody was just, the guy said, look at that guy. He's been there forever. And he's healed? You don't see anywhere where that's written. And the whole place cleared out saying, look at the guy's heel. He's walking. No, you better put that bed down. Right? Is that stupid? I mean, that amount of ignorance blows my mind. But so there was never any doubt in the Jewish faith that God would do miraculous healings. Right? Never was even questioned. The question was, is could you get rid of your sin? Because you see, the law had rooted and grounded within the people that unless you kept all the commandments, right? You're a sinner and nobody was going to keep all the commandments. God set it up that way. He set it up the whole reason why the old Levitical law is there is because he wanted man to see this is what you'd have to do to be perfect and you can't do it. That was the point of the law, and man took it and said, I think we can do it. That's how stupid we are. I said, I think we can do it. And so then God said, okay, you're not going to be able to do it, so you're going to have to make an animal sacrifice. You're going to have the shedding of blood, because I want y'all to at least get in your head the shedding of blood, the shedding of blood, the shedding of blood, the shedding of blood. So when my son sheds his blood for you, maybe you'll get it. Right? I mean, do y'all realize that on the day that Jesus was crucified, they were down at the temple sacrificing lambs. And they stuck the lamb after they'd sacrificed him on the spigot so they could go home and read the Passover. And the lamb was stretched out just like on a cross. And there's people walking all through the village, all through the town, holding a lamb on a cross and didn't realize that Jesus, the guy that had been healing everybody, was up there on a cross stretched out just like the lamb. And nobody caught it. I'm like, golly Moses, folks, what's wrong with y'all? And here's Isaiah prophesying this. And nobody had any problem with healing, but they all had a problem with getting rid of your sin. Because they kept going back to the old Levitical law saying, you got to do it by performance. And folks, I'm telling you, you will grab hold of the revelation of what it means when through that confession we've been saying about that you're blessed, that God's hand is upon you, you're blessed, when you realize that your only way you're right before God is by the blood of Jesus, and you are right. It's not like, okay, well, let me put some blood on you, then I can tolerate you. It's not like putting perfume on to cover up the stench. Right? Amen. Hello? I was going to say, you know, there has been times in life, my wife catches me that I'll want to wear a shirt again another day. I say, I ain't get it dirty. And she'll say, you're going to smell like an old man if you don't get you a clean shirt. And the thought comes to me, well, just put something on it so then I'll smell okay. I'm covering up the smell. I need a stronger smell to cover up the smell that stinks. Hello? That's an old man thing. And when she's gone, it gets really bad. Yep. But a lot of people are living our Christian lives like that, saying, well, if I just go to church, if I just worship, or if I just read my Bible today, well, then I'll cover up some of the stench on me. But you got to understand it's not like that. You got to understand that the blood of Jesus hitting your life and touching your life so reconciles you and sets you right with God that He sees you holy and blameable and unreprovable in His sight. Amen. It's not about He just covered up some smell. You know, all the incense and all the things that they burnt over there, it was to cover up the smell. Because it was a slaughterhouse in the church. I mean, can y'all imagine like when Solomon, you know, killed 120,000 sheep? Holy moly. Imagine what it smelled like. Imagine the flies and everything else. Of course he had to have some incense burning. Blood's everywhere. It's a mess. Right? Okay, so it's not like that with God. We're not going to walk truly in the blessings of God until we get the revelation of what it really means to be righteous before Him. That we're not blessed because we deserve it or we earned it. We're blessed because we're blessed because Jesus is His Lord and Savior of life and our sin has been removed. Amen. Well, but Pastor, you don't know what I did the other day. Wait a minute, you're getting into a whole other category there. There's a big difference between being righteous before God and walking out through sanctification in your life. That's a whole other topic. You're mixing the two. Because you're either, Jesus is either the Lord of your life and you're right with God, or you're not. It's not a in and out and an in and out and an in and out. It's not a bank, a river of righteousness running and you're going through and then you swim out on the other side and you do something wrong and you swim out on the other side and you do something wrong. Part of the time you're right and part of the time you're not. No. You either are or you aren't. And it's the revelation of this that drives out all the unrighteousness in us. The part of the wrongdoing in our life and us doing, you know, habitually something that we shouldn't be doing. It's when that revelation comes in us of how right we are with God, and my God, He loves me, and I can't believe He does this. It makes you want to be good. You following me? Okay. Now, when Isaiah's prophesying this, he says in verse 4, surely He has borne our griefs and carried away our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But you got to understand what He really said. Okay? If you go in and you look at the Hebrew and you study what this means, what He literally said, the word for griefs is sickness. It's the word keoli, and it means sickness. If that was going to be a literal translation there, he would say, surely He has borne our sickness. Okay? Went quiet all of a sudden. And then it would truly be translated, surely He has borne our sickness and carried away our pain. That would be the literal Hebrew translation. That's literally what Isaiah spoke out of his mouth. What I'm trying to say is there's a place I believe in life that we're going to get to as a church of power this year, where we understand the righteousness of God, that He has made us righteous with Him by the blood of Jesus. And when that revelation sinks down on the inside of you, and if we fulfill what that scripture says that Jesus did on the cross for us, what that righteousness brought in us, it drives sickness out of our bodies. Amen. It drives pain out of our bodies. Amen. Whether it's a broken heart or physical pain. That's a big statement. But I know it's the truth. I mean, there's medical fact after medical fact after medical fact that a lot of people are sick because of the way they think. Because they don't wake up every morning and say, I'm blessed. The good hand of God is upon me, and I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed. The worry and the fear and the anxiety of life literally, physically makes us sick. So does it not make sense that the joy and the peace and the happiness of the walking righteously with God would make us well? Right? If your thoughts can make you sick, then couldn't it just be in reverse?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, this whole deal about this confession, I mean, you know, I wrote these confessions and I've had them for years. I've spoken them, not always walked in them, spoken them, not always walked in them. The other day I was walking out of the house, I came running back in the house. I usually in the morning, I'm not one of those guys that loads up and leaves. I have like three leavings in my house. I usually always get in the truck and then I think about something I forgot, then I have to go back in the house and get it. It's usually three leavings before I actually get out of the house. And so in one of the three leavings, I went back in and told Laura, I said, come here, what am I doing? I think it was Monday morning. I said, pulled up the confession. I said, we're going to stand right here and we're going to confess this together in our house. This is a part of our lives. We're going to get this one down, and every day we're going to stand up there and confess it and declare it. Now, I can tell you that everything that day didn't go peachy, but it didn't really make any difference because there was joy in my heart, because there was a smile on my face saying, Lord, now how are you going to work this out? How are you going to turn this situation around? Because you're going to, because I'm blessed. I can't be cursed. Just like Balaam trying to curse the children of Israel, I can't be cursed. So how are you going to turn this around? So my whole prayer was different. It was like, okay, Lord, how's this going to get turned around? Because I don't know what you're going to do. I can't see, but I just know that I'm blessed. I just know that I'm walking with a glory cloud of blessing on me because I'm walking in the revelation of what the Word of God says is in my life. Hello? And I'm telling you, if you grab hold of this revelation and get this revelation in your life, I'm telling you, you're going to see a change physically in your life. And the reason why I can stand up here and emphatically say that to y'all as I know it's the truth is because that's what the Word says. That becoming righteous drives sickness out of your body. Isaiah prophesied it. So it's going to be a great 2017. Have y'all ever noticed that when you see any of these deals when they come up, when you know people live into a long age? Like there's this village over in France. What do they call them? Centennials? Is that right? Where there's more people in that town that are over 100 years old than any other town in the world. And so they were in there researching, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? And to read the article, I mean, I was just laughing because basically, the reason why they're living so long is they're out of the stress of the world. And they all have their little farm, and they all grow their little vegetables, and they're all down there, and it's talking about that they like to get together, and they like to party, and they like to drink wine, and they're still active in all kinds of things that you wouldn't believe that anybody 100 years old would be active in. And you get to see, they painted this whole picture of the town, and everybody's just having a great time. And I'm like, well, of course. You know, there may be some environmental conditions or whatever, you know, but I'm just saying, look at what they're doing. told y'all that I'm just, you know, like, I've given up on TV and I just watch Andy Griffith on Netflix now. It's a continual running of Andy Griffith. It's true, right? Say amen. She gets touched. Can't we watch something else? But I mean, it's just such a simple time. Everybody's sitting on the porch. Right? And it's just this simple time. I mean, I can remember hearing stories of, you know, even my father telling me that when he was a boy that you know, all the people from the surrounding areas came, you know, over to their house, and they'd have, you know, music, and they'd play and dance, and everybody'd bring something to eat and drink, and they'd have all this. And nowadays, everybody's so busy, you know, that just doesn't happen. But what I'm saying is, isn't that the way we should be relaxed in God? Because we know we're righteous. And that waking up with that peace and going to sleep with that peace, knowing that you're right with God because of what you believe, that Jesus is your Savior, not because of how well you performed. Wow. And that simple revelation will literally drive sickness from your body. I really think when we get to heaven, one of the things God's going to say to us is, you know, I made it really simple. Why'd y'all make it so hard? He made it simple, but we make it very difficult. We complicate things. Well, but, you know, you can't. I mean, I've had preachers tell me before that my preaching is wrong because I have to put in some sort of hellfire and damnation, because if I don't, y'all just run off amok and just do whatever.
Maybe he needs to examine himself.
Yeah, because I said, man, you know, last time I checked, it was the goodness of God that brought us to salvation, you know, not. But I mean, you know, when you go back and you study history, that's what the church tried to do, was keep the people ignorant, don't let them read the Bible, the priest told them what to do, keep everybody in subjection. You know, tell them this is what you got to do. And because they thought they could control the crowds that way, or the people. But man, I'm ready just to, you know, I'm looking at things like, wow, shouldn't we be relaxed? Shouldn't we be at peace? Shouldn't we be saying, wow, it's just amazing what's going to happen tomorrow, because God's going to just do all kinds of amazing things for me because I'm blessed. Yes, amen. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, that's why they call it good news. It's like, I think it would become very popular if there was just a news agency that always just gave good news. I mean, really, you know, like I grew up this from my father. My father always watched the news, and then we all went to bed. And you go watch the news, and I mean, they start out with, okay, well, there were so many people shot on this side of town, and that was over this time, and then the house burnt down over here, and this one happened over here. And you're just like, really? You know? And then they run one good story, and then there's like 10 others trying to disprove that the good story wasn't really good, you know, it really wasn't right. And I'm like, oh, folks. Right? Makes me so mad. It's just like, come on. Come on. So anyway, we're not going to walk in that. Not in 2017. Amen?
Amen.
We're blessed. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, praise God.